In the darkness of Christmas Eve, 1914, as German and British soldiers faced each other in trenches separated by a no man's land, the German soldiers began lighting candles, illuminating themselves, and holding up Christmas trees with lighted candles in the branches. Then they began singing, "Still a knocked, Heilige knocked," and the British soldiers began to sing along, "Silent night, holy night." And the two entrenched enemies, leaving their weapons behind, climbed out of the trenches and met in no man's land. There they built a campfire, exchanged small gifts, shared family photos, celebrating together, celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace. What a different place our world would be if those two sworn enemies had not returned to their trenches, taken up their weapons, and resumed trying to kill each other. The same may be said about our nation's response after September the 11th, 2001. William Sloan Coffin has said, "This is what President Bush should have said, could have said," quote, "We will respond, but not in kind. We will not seek to avenge the death of innocent Americans by the death of innocent victims elsewhere, lest we become what we abhor. We refuse to ratchet up the cycle of violence that brings only ever more violence, death, and destruction. What we will do is build coalitions with other nations. We will share intelligence, freeze assets, and engage in forceful extradition of terrorists if internationally sanctioned. I promise I will do all in my power to see justice done, but by the force of law only, never by the law of force." What a difference it would have made if this teachable witnessing moment had been seized instead of forfeited. The same can be said for the preemptive, largely unilateral war against Iraq, a war that our own church and many others have termed unnecessary, immoral, illegal, unjustified. Yet even now, some are clamoring for, some are seeking to start another war against Iran. What if we followed the words of Jesus and the example of a Lutheran church in Yorktown, Virginia, a church that is the spiritual home of many military families, a relatively conservative congregation that is set in a community of military bases, a red church in a red county in a red state? Yet in the days following 9/11/01, the pastor of St. Mark's prayed not for a glorious victory, not for God's vengeance on the terrorist. Rather, he prayed for Osama bin Laden and for the people of St. Mark's to forgive their enemy. Diana Butler Bass tells us, "No one got mad. No one stormed out. In this most military of places, they prayed for forgiveness." And what a difference it would make if we would do as this man, who James Miller told us about in last Thursday's devotion in These Days, a man who wrote this letter to the editor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have a message to those who stole my trailer and all-terrain vehicle. I give them to you. My heart was wrong when I found out you had taken them. I was angry at you for stealing something I loved. The Marine side of me just wanted 5 minutes with each of you. That attitude was wrong. I should have cared more about your soul than for what you took. I pray God will become a reality in your life, and you can learn that Christ loves you. Because of him, I say that I love you more than the items you took. Jesus preaches and teaches, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not warm fuzzies, but intentional, deliberate action for the good of the other. Attempting to see our enemies from God's point of view. This then is how we show the world that we belong to a God of justice and compassion, a God of mercy and grace. In this Sermon on the Mount, and in the specific words of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus offers, Jesus challenges us, Jesus invites us to grasp a New Year's resolution for the ages, a life-changing, life and world-transforming message that is both counter to our culture and runs against the grain of our human nature. In the Sermon on the Mount and in this gospel lesson, the lovable infant of the manger becomes a prophet, and he claims us and calls us to live a radically different kind of life, a life with Christ at the center of all that we are and do, a life with the God of justice and compassion as the boss of our living and of our dying. We may want a birth narrative without the prophet, but God in Christ doesn't offer us this option. Rather, in this Sermon on the Mount and in the person of Jesus, we hear a message that calls us to a whole new way of being. A message that will not allow us to be spectators in a theater enjoying all the pretty pictures, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it. Here we hear the demands that we belong, body, mind, and soul, in life and in death, not to ourselves, but to God. Jesus preaches and teaches. It is not enough for us to care only about the people who care about us. It is not enough for us to welcome and to offer hospitality to those who include us. There's nothing extra special about that. No extra credit given. No stars in our crowns. Rather, we are called to be like God. We are called to reflect God's open and generous mercy. We are called to put legs on God's justice and live God's unconditional love. Compassion with no strings attached to all who are made in God's image. In this infant of Bethlehem, who is also the prophet of Jerusalem, God invites us to join the action, to be a part of the great reversal, the new ordering of life. As Isaiah says, when we allow God to teach us God's ways, and when we walk in God's pathways, then we will no longer react wanting to hit back as we are hit. We will no longer seek revenge and the death of all our enemies. Rather, we will allow God to so enter our lives and to be our judge that we will turn our swords into shovels and our spears into hoes, as Eugene Peterson says. No longer will a nation go to war against another nation at the drop of a hat. No more will people train one another in warfare, in the art of destroying the other guy before those who threaten us can destroy us. Rather, come, let us live, let us walk in the light of God. Isn't this a New Year's resolution for the ages? Not to give in to our gut reactions, but to allow God to live in us and to act through us intentionally and deliberately through our transformed minds and hearts. Is this normal and natural and in line with our base human nature? No. If it were, we would already be doing it. Is what Jesus the prophet teaches and preaches easy? No. For if it were, we would already be doing it. Rather, Jesus calls us to a new way of being, to a radically different way of living. For Jesus did not say, go think about loving your enemies. Jesus did not say, form a committee and go study for a long time what it means to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. No, Jesus said, just do it. Live out God's wide open agape love, caring for your enemies as much as you care about yourselves, and seeking through prayer the best for those who seek to hurt and to destroy you. Express your place in God's family by loving and living unexpectedly, embracing all as God's love embraces you. What a New Year's resolution this is. If we would do as Micah preaches, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. What a game changer, what a life transformer this is. And if we would only seek to live God's perfect love in our imperfect world. O house of Jacob, come, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Let us pause for a time of silent meditation. I invite you to participate with me in a time of reflection. Let us seek to hear God calling us to a new and different kind of life, to a life devoted to God, with Christ as our center, powered by the Spirit of the living God. What form, what shape will your resolution for 2012 take?